Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading is from the book of Acts. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciple who heard that, Peter was there and sent two men to him with request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then he opened her eyes, and then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsibly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Our second reading is from Revelations. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures as they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the ones who is seated in the throne and will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. And the sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? And if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. The gospel, according to John, is understood to be the last of the gospels to come into its form. Scholars can only speculate about who the author is. This gospel does not follow the same outline as the other three Gospels, and it offers some pretty expansive views of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Through it are echoes of the earliest origin stories of the Hebrew people. When Moses asked the voice from the burning bush, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And the answer was, "I am." That four-letter ambiguity that faithful Jewish people dare not speak. The echoes are in all those commitments by Jesus, "I am." Today, though, the church does not hear those "I am" statements. Instead, the church hears the challenge from religious leaders who come and confront Jesus at the festival of the dedication. And in the face of that challenge, Jesus asserts several important things. "You know who I am because of what I do. My sheep hear my voice. I know my sheep, and my sheep follow me. I give eternal life. The Father and I are one." These are huge. You see, by the time John's gospel was written, Jesus had been raised from the dead and ascended for roughly 50 years. Those who believe that Jesus is the Messiah have undergone persecution from within the Jewish religious community. In addition, the Roman Empire had begun to suspect that these Jesus followers weren't really Jewish. And that opened them up to be persecuted by the Roman Empire because, quite frankly, they were no longer protected by the commitments that the Roman Empire had made with the Jewish leadership. It had become increasingly clear that believers in Jesus and the Jewish community had less and less in common. Indeed, some were being expelled from the synagogue and the temple. It was a very difficult time to believe in Jesus. And here this gospel reading tells the faithful two important things. First, Jesus identifies as shepherd to faithful followers. And second, Jesus identifies as one with God, the Father. Some nearly 2,000 years later, this may not seem so outrageous. Well, it does not seem so until one realizes that speaking of shepherds is one metaphor for speaking of kings. This is the language of insurrection, suggesting that Jesus supplants the authority of Caesar, of the empire. For the community to teach this position, well, it's really quite dangerous. For those who believe that faith and Christianity and the church do not intersect with the political sphere of good governance, let this testimony challenge that notion. Some of you heard me say that sheep are not all that bright last week. Many farmers have told me stories. This week, I heard a story from Polly Festa of High Diddle Homestead, talk about how research has shown that sheep can know and recognize up to at least 125 different faces. She also noted that the sheep she tends know the sound of her vehicle, what her vehicle looks like. This would be important if you want to be fed and cared for, right? The sound of her voice. They know her and follow her. She also said that she can sneak up on them by changing what vehicle she goes out to see them in. Jesus asserting that he knows his sheep and they follow him stands in the face of Caesar and the Roman Empire and is so very dangerous, not just to the Jesus followers, but to the religious leadership who have struck a deal of complicity with the empire. This is a political treatise, like it or not. Jesus stands against all the ways that the empire deals death and unsavory power. Similarly, Jesus asserting that he is one with the Father, with God, is for these Jewish leaders blasphemy. It is a huge problem. Yet for those who are under the thumb of the empire, for those who are powerless, for those the Jewish leadership has sold down the river, Jesus is a sign of hope. Yes, I used a phrase that literally references the slave trade along the Ohio and Mississippi rivers in the 19th century America. It references not only betrayal, but the kind of betrayal that enslaves individuals and whole peoples. Jesus represents freedom. Jesus is new life. Jesus offers promise. Those who believe and trust in Jesus have nothing to fear. And yet, 2,000 years later, I personally move from fear instead of faith. I hear the voice of the shepherd and often fail to follow. I cling to the promise, the new life, the freedom that Jesus enacts through his death and resurrection, yet I still lack the boldness to stand with those whose humanity is too often betrayed by modern government and culture. I confess all of this to you. I pray that through Jesus Christ, I may be more bold. Too often I choose a middle ground, a middle way, a safe space that won't get me into too much trouble. In doing so, I betray the very witness of the good news we have in Jesus Christ. I pray that I may recognize and follow the voice, the face of Jesus when I meet them. I pray that I may follow the shepherd, the sovereign, whose reign is all about life and hope and freedom. I pray that I may work for justice, for bold proclamation of God's grace for all people. May it be so also for St. Andrew's Lutheran Church. Let us not betray the bold witness of the gospel offered through these scriptures of the early church. And so, as it was for those who first heard the gospel of John, it is also true for us today. Jesus is freedom. Jesus is new life. Jesus offers promise. Those who believe and trust in Jesus have nothing to fear. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.